Praise the Lord. Well, today is a very special day in our nation and in the house of God, Remembrance Day. And I want to refer to the secular realm of life for a moment. Today we honor those who have given and give their lives in service and sacrifice for this nation, to protect and guard this nation, to secure this nation. How thankful we are to the Lord for the freedom that has been brought to our nation, that we can grow up in this land of liberty. It is said, every nation has an army, its own or someone else's. And so we're thankful for our nation and the protection that is there. Hallelujah. A couple of generations ago, a man, George Orwell, who was a secularist, he was of a particular political persuasion, and he believed in democratic socialism. He wrote a lot of insightful books, if you read any of them. But he said these words, of all things, George Orwell said, "People sleep comfortably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf." And we know how true that is. God has set authority. God has set authority into the kingdoms of the earth, into this land, to hold back satanic destruction and to hold back the wickedness of man. We sleep comfortably in our beds at night because of soldiers and because of policemen and because of rough men who stand ready to do violence on our behalf. And how thankful we should be to the Lord today. We thank God for authority in our nation. Can you imagine our land without authority? Can you imagine the destruction, the fear we would live in? Thank God for authority. We may not prefer the personality at times, but thank God for the authority. And the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, the governing authorities in the land, the federal authority, the provincial authority, the civic authority. We thank the Lord today for these authorities, for the protection, for the life He's given us. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, he said, "I exhort therefore, first of all," he said, this is of primary importance, "that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Our prayers are important to the nation. They hold back the powers of darkness. They hold back the wickedness of men. Our prayers are important. For this, the Bible says, is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. These prayers, this quiet and peaceful life, where the proclamation of the gospel can go forth, this is of great value in the eyes of the Lord. And so today we stand on guard for Canada. We remember our heroes. We remember our nation. You know, my grandfathers fought in the early wars, World War I and World War II. I was thinking about them this week. My paternal grandfather fought in the First World War for Germany, and there's a one point where the heel was shot off his soldier's boot. That's how close he came to being brought down and ending his life. He earned the Iron Cross for bravery as a young soldier in warfare. My maternal grandfather was in the Second World War as an interpreter, as a translator for the Germans. He was fluent in a number of languages and translated, interpreted for the Germans with the Russians. And that was his work and duty in the army. And the family was allowed to send him a package once in a while, as the army allowed. Every family could send something to the soldiers and the men on the front lines in the war effort. And my grandfather loved this particular cake. And so my mother and her sisters and brother and mother sent this cake to him every so often as they could. And one day they received a note back from him, and the note said, "Please don't send any more cakes. Send Bibles in the Russian language," because he was handing out Bibles to the Russian leaders that he was interpreting and translating and in dialogue with. He lost his life in the Second World War in his early 40s. was traveling in a vehicle, convoy, and came under fire, and shrapnel flew in all directions, and his life was taken. But there was a time before that when the Lord, by his good grace, allowed my mother to have a dream. And in her dream, as a young lady, 20 years of age, such a loving father they had. But in that dream, the Lord came to her. Actually, her father came to her in the dream. And he said these words to her: God has done all things well. God has done all things well. Her dad never came home from the field. But how those words comforted my mom and their family and have held them all their life. Today we're thankful for those who've served our nation and who serve our nation. We pray for them and lift them up for the blessing of the Lord. As I was thinking about Remembrance Day, November 11th, an inspiration was quickened in my spirit. And I began to relatively quickly gather some scriptures in my spirit to the fore on the word remembrance. Now, I don't think in my 43 years of preaching that I've ever spoken on directly on a theme like remembrance. Maybe from time to time used a scripture, but there were so many thoughts that came together, and there are more than I can use in this message, so we'll put it forward into the future. But when you think of how many times the Lord told his people to remember, remember, put in mind, don't forget, God wants us to remember certain things. And today is Remembrance Day, and so I pray that as I bring forth 6 or 7 or 8 things in the next few weeks, that we will jot these down in our heart and remember what the Lord wants us to remember, because it's for our good and it'll build up our spiritual life and keep us safe in the ways of the Lord. Many of you can think of some scriptures along with me. 2 Peter 3:1, the Apostle Peter said, I come to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you would be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord, that you would be mindful of the commandments, that you would be mindful of the words of the holy prophets in the Word of God. In Revelation 2:5, the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, he said, remember from where you are fallen and repent and do the first works. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first works. He said, remember from where you're fallen. Is it possible for churches to fall back, to regress? Of course it is. Remember from where you've fallen. Is it possible for Christians to fall back, to draw back from the Lord, from their spiritual height and excitement and walk? Yes, it is. And the Lord says, remember from where you've fallen. Remember the place you once walked with God, and repent and begin to walk with God in the same strength and fervor once again. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Remember the body of Christ. Remember the people of God. Remember those who have put a word of encouragement and blessed you. Remember the people of God and how important they are to you. The Lord says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Don't put it off. Don't say later. The enemy says later. The Lord says now. The Lord says now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. The enemy will always try to talk you out of it and say, no, tomorrow is the day. Another time, another day, a more convenient season. But God is calling. He says, now it's urgent. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Lord says, remember what Amalek did to you. Remember what Amalek did to you. Remember your Creator. The Lord says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so we may touch on some of those things in coming weeks, but today I have a pair of remembrances to bring together. I'm going to try and bring these together in proper order. But today, let's remember the Lord, number one, who fights for you. Remember the Lord who fights for you. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 14 to 20. And I looked, Nehemiah said, and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of your enemies. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, great and terrible, King James says, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet, the prophetic voice, was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. We're not alone in this life. We're not alone in the warfare of this life. We're not alone in the building of walls and raising our families, our sons and daughters, and gaining inheritance in the earth. We are not alone. Our God will fight for us. Remember the Lord. When you're under pressure, when circumstances come against your life, when you're under trial, remember the Lord who fights for us. King Abijah said, "The Lord is with us. He's the captain. The Lord, our captain, is with us. He will lead us onto the field of battle, and he will lead us off victoriously. He's our captain." And this morning, first and foremost, let's remember Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Remember Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who single-handedly on the battlefields of Golgotha overcame our arch enemy Satan, our foe. He broke the power of Satan, the dragon, the serpent, and released us into eternal life. Remember the Lord who not only defeated Satan, but also broke the sinful nature in us, that corrupt sinful nature that kept us in bondage to ourselves and to the works of the flesh, and how the Lord has released us in sanctifying grace to walk in his presence and to walk forward in godliness and holiness. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph." God who always causes us to triumph in Jesus Christ our Lord. God who always causes us to triumph. He's our captain. He's with us. Now this morning, there's not a person that knows the Lord with a faithful heart that isn't thankful for the great deliverance from sin and the power of Satan. Our Lord has redeemed us, set us free, sanctified us, and has set us toward heaven, eternal life with him. The Lord came with signs and wonders. He came with miracles to our lives. Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." And how did Jesus come to the people to awake them out of their sin and their slumber? He came with miracles. He came with signs. He came with wonders. And in that, our God has done the same. As the writer to the Hebrews says, that the Holy Spirit was bearing witness in those miracles, signs, and wonders. I think back of the miracles. I think of the signs pointing to the Lord. I think of the wonders that filled me with wonder at my Savior and my Lord and caused me to give my life to the Lord, because the Lord fights for us. He stretches out his hand. He moves in signs and miracles so that we are not left in the dark. We are not left in perplexity. We know there is a Lord and Savior who is at our side and who fights our battles and seeks to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. In Exodus chapter 13, let's look at a few scriptures. Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Remember the day of your salvation, when you became a new creation in Christ. Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. By the Lord's strength, he fought for us against Satan and sin, and he delivered us from the world system. Deuteronomy 6:22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. The Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe. The Lord did miracles. The Bible says the Lord is terrible. The Bible says the Lord is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. He comes to fight for his people. He fights for our salvation. The Lord fought for every person that's here today that's washed by the blood of Jesus. The Lord fought for you against Satan's trickery, against Satan's temptations. The Lord fought for you against your own lusts and against your own human disposition that was bound in sin and slavery. The Lord fought for you, and because of that, you stand today cleansed and redeemed, lifted out of this world, and you belong to Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord. Psalm 103, 1 to 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember what the Lord has done, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Oh, how many times the Lord protected us when we would have fallen into ill will and we've been fallen into danger. Seven things that are spoken in Psalm 103. The Lord says, do not forget those benefits. Remember the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, from all nations of the world, red and yellow, black and white. We are precious in his sight. The Lord has gathered us out of all lands and continents. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Once we were wanderers with no sure path. We were alone, lonely. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then we cried unto the Lord in our trouble, and he delivered us out of all our distresses, and he led us forth by the right way that we might go to a city of habitation. And that city of habitation is the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem, the city of our God. We're in it now, we're residents now, and we're on our way to the ultimate city, the new Jerusalem in the heavens. But the Lord gave us a city. He gave us a place. And the Bible says those that have overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ have a name written in their forehead. They have the name of the Lord and the name of the city of their God. The heavenly angels, the heavenly powers, the Lord from heaven looks at us and he sees a name on us. He sees the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the name of the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, imprinted on our foreheads. Hallelujah. We belong to the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You say, oh, I praise in my heart. I'm silent. I praise down in my mind, in my heart. Well, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. With everything, we will shout forth his glory. With everything, we will shout forth his praise because of his great deliverance in our lives. Hallelujah. The Lord is for us. The Lord fights for us. I like Exodus 14:13-14. As the people were redeemed out of the world, out of Egypt, in new creation life, their salvation experience, they came to the waters of baptism, and the powers of Egypt, the army of Egypt and Pharaoh came surging down upon them, and they were hemmed in by the Red Sea. The Lord said to Moses, silence the people, because the people were panicking. They said, Moses, would to God we had died in Egypt rather than out here in this wilderness. Have you brought us out in this redemption? Have you brought us out from slavery, from sin, and the powers of Satan to destroy us in this wilderness? The Lord said, Moses, silence the people. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Every power that kept us in bondage and sin and slavery has been broken forever at the waters of baptism and by the blood of Jesus. There's not one power of darkness that can follow us through the waters of baptism. We will face other enemies that try to keep us from our inheritance. But as the powers of darkness that kept us in a sin life, they are broken forever. We belong to Jesus Christ for time and eternity. We are his. And he said, no one can pluck you out of my hands. What a glorious Lord. Then he said, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. At the waters of baptism, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord stretched out his hand upon Egypt with signs and wonders and judgments and broke the people free out of satanic bondage. And now he came at the waters of baptism and he said, I'm still fighting for you, and I will fight for you when you go to take your inheritance, the promised land. I am the Lord. I'm a man of war. I will fight for my people. And the Lord came at the waters of baptism, and the waters opened up. And you know what happened as the waters returned? The Bible says in Exodus 15 that the Lord blew with his wind, and the sea covered them, and the enemy soldiers sank as lead in the mighty waters. And the people began to rejoice on the banks of resurrection life. And Miriam took the tambourine, and the women followed her, and they went out in praises and worship, and they sang unto the Lord because they had triumphed gloriously. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. When you're under pressure, when you come to a place where it seems like you're hemmed in, hold your peace. Put your trust in the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to come for our situation. He's going to come for our life. If we'll stand in faith and trust in him, he will always fight for his people. Psalm 78, 9 to 11. Children of Ephraim, here were some of God's children who forgot what the Lord was to do for them. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. I mean, they had the armor of God on their life. They had the weapons of righteousness, all the weapons of warfare for victory. But the Bible says they turned back in the day of battle. They turned back when enemy pressure came, when there was assault against their life, when there was temptation, trial. Even though they were armed and carrying bows, and in the name of the Lord could have overcome their enemies, they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. They were overcome because they forgot the Lord's works. They forgot the wonders he'd shown them. They forgot how he had dealt with them in times past. The Lord says, remember the Lord who fights for you. Remember the Lord who fights for you. Now, you may be here today and maybe you have forgot. And you're in a difficult circumstance and trial. And the Lord today wants to strengthen your heart. You may be discouraged. You may be disheartened. You may be overcome at the strength of the battle, but the Bible says the Lord will fight for you. And the Lord is here today to call you back to his presence, that you remember the Lord who has fought for you in times past, and you remember the Lord that he will fight for you today, and that his strength is here for you today, and that you will not turn back in the day of battle, but you say, I will persevere. I will stand, and having done all to stand, I will war with my God. I will fight with my God, because the Lord is for us. He's with us. He is beside us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. One day the roads of this dusty pilgrimage will be over. One day the smoke of spiritual battle on our lives will be over forever, and we will stand in the eternal presence of God, marveling at the grace of God that has come upon our lives and the victory that the Lord has secured on our behalf. One day it'll be over, and what a day that will be. What a day that will be. And we must keep our hope, and we must keep our faith, and we must keep our trust in the Lord, because the rewards are heavenly. They're eternal. That no one would be discouraged and turn back in the day of battle today, but we would keep our trust in the Lord our God who fights for us. What a Savior, what a deliverer. One day we will stand not with armor of God on. We won't need it anymore. We won't have a helmet of salvation on our head. We'll have crowns of rejoicing. We'll have crowns of victory. We'll have won. We'll have the wreath of the victor in the games. We will wear diadems. And the Bible says in heaven that the saints of God, along with the 24 elders who represent the entire company of the redeemed, they are in heaven. And as the worship begins to roll in heaven, that they take their crowns and they fall on their faces and they put their crowns before the Savior, the Lamb of God, because they acknowledge every victory is yours. Every crown I wear, every victory you've given me is because of you. You fought for me, Lord. You fought with me. I cast my crowns at your feet. One day we won't hold a sword in our hands and have to fight off on the left hand and on the right satanic darkness and temptation and the worldly spirit. One day in our hands, the Bible says, will be harps of worship and praise and rejoicing and singing. But now we're in battle, but what a day that will be. Beautiful hymn from years ago. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that ultimate promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every victory is his. There'll come a day, I love Judges 5 and verse 11. There'll come a day. Far from the noise of the archers, among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Judges 5:11 speaks of the battles and how when battle was won, as in the days of Deborah and Barak, that as they returned from the battlefield victorious, it says, far from the noise of the archers, far from the battlefield, among the watering places, at the wells of salvation, there they shall rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of the Lord for his people. One day in heaven, we are going to rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. And even now, when God gives us victories, we draw to the watering places and we talk of the goodness of the Lord and we give testimony of the salvation of God and the miracle he did this week and how he led us and his word that came to us. Far from the noise of the archers, but in heaven ultimately, we will recount the righteous acts of the Lord. Hallelujah. What do they talk about in heaven? What do they talk about in heaven? The judgments on Egypt, how the Lord delivered his people. The shout at Jericho. The sword of the Lord at Gideon Springs. The defeat of the giant in the valley of Elah. The dance of war in the valley of Rephaim, the fasting prayers at Shushan, midnight praises in Philippi. They're talking about the righteous acts of the Lord far from the place of the archers today. They're recounting the goodness of the Lord as they come out of the battlefields of earth, unscathed by it all because of the presence of the Lord and the grace of God upon their lives. And we too will join that company, and we will give our testimonies, and we will talk of the goodness of the Lord, as of His deliverance, of His salvation, of His rescue, of His miracles, what He did with us to bring us through to glory, to bring us through to His heavenly home. Far from the noise of the archers, we will rejoice in the presence of the Lord. What do they talk about in heaven? The Bible doesn't give us a lot of information, but down in the book of Revelation, we know what they're singing and talking about, because when the worship begins to flow, they begin to talk about the Lamb of God who purchased us out of all nations. He redeemed us. He took us out of sin. He took us out of darkness. He took us out of Satan's hands. And they begin to talk about the goodness of the Lord, His deliverance. Revelation 15 says that the saints stand on the sea of glass, and there they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Those are the songs of salvation. That is the honor of the gospel covenant, the salvation of our God. They're singing of their deliverance in heaven. If we marvel at our salvation now, when we can't fully comprehend and understand what God has truly done for us, can you imagine on that day how much more when we fully understand our salvation, our rescue, our deliverance, how we will shout the praises of the Lord? Come out of the earth. We've come out of the earth, rescued from eternity and the fires of hell, rescued forever by the presence and promises of Jesus Christ. The everlasting gospel, the everlasting good news is upon our lives. What a day that will be, far from the noise of the archers. We will sing and dance on golden streets, and we will rehearse the victories and the miracles and the blessings of God that graced our lives on earth to bring us through to heavenly glory. What do they talk about in heaven? Well, we don't know a lot except for that day when heaven came down to earth. On Mount Tabor, the Mount of Transfiguration, heavenly glory came down as Jesus was on that mountain with three of His disciples, Peter, James, and John. But something spectacular happened to the Lord in His earthly frame. Heaven came down, a touch of eternal glory. This was an illustration of the communion, the sweet communion between Christ and His saints in glory, because Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus and they were talking. Heaven's glory came down, and the Bible says that Jesus' appearance was altered and that His face shone like the sun, the countenance of the sun, and His clothes became white and glistering. And the glory of the Lord shone about them. Two men appeared, Moses and Elijah. And what were they talking about? They were talking about His victory. They were talking about the new Exodus. They were talking about the deliverance that He should accomplish at Jerusalem. That's what heaven talks about. The victories, the deliverances, the salvations, the blessings of God that come to redeem people unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that a beautiful sight on the Mount of Transfiguration? Heaven came down and they talked about His victories, about His redemption, about the souls that He would redeem from the earth that would be God's forever and ever and serve in the heavenly kingdom. Remember the Lord today who fights for you. Remember the Lord who fights for you. Put your trust in the Lord. He is with you. He's beside you. He's behind you. He's for you. He will deliver us from this battlefield of earth victorious into His presence as we put our trust in Him. Number two, remember all the way the Lord your God led you. The Lord will fight for you, and the Lord will lead you. Remember all the way the Lord your God led you. What's the inflection on this verse? Let's go to Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. Some recent translations put a lot of emphasis on the way, the path that God led them. But some retain the sense of remember all the way. Remember the manner in which the Lord led you. Remember the way, all the way in which the Lord led you. And it goes on to explain it. Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 3. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, and test you, to know what was in your heart, to purge you, to refine you, to purify you. The Lord led you to humble you and to try you, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know came from heaven, bread which man does not know. Nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Remember the way in which the Lord led you. This morning, let's remember the way in which the Lord leads us. It's one of the Lord's mercies that he humbles us. It's one of the Lord's mercies that he leads us in the way he does. He humbles us. He lets us feel the warfare. He lets us feel our infirmity, our weakness, our dependence on him. Because if he didn't, the enemies of pride would strengthen in our hearts and overtake us and bring us down and destroy us. The Lord leads us in a way that keeps us dependent on him. He lets us feel our frailty. He lets us feel our infirmity. He said, I will give you daily bread. Enough for a day. That's all. You say, well, Lord, I want more. I want storehouses full. God says, no, I'm going to give you enough provision for a day so that the beasts of the field don't increase upon you. Pride and ease and self-sufficiency and apathy and distraction. God says, I'm just going to give you enough for every day. Now, our flesh reacts to that. At times, we don't want the rate of a day. God says, I'm going to give you a certain portion, Exodus 16, of heavenly bread. But our flesh doesn't want that. It wants more than enough for a day. But our spirit knows that it's right. And if you've walked with God for any amount of time, you can discern in your spirit, the Lord's giving me enough for today, and that's all I need. And I'm not going to get anxious and fretful about the future and how my life's going to unfold and what's going to happen with my family and how my finances are going to be and will I have enough and will I be able to make it. The Lord says, all I'm giving you is enough for a day, because in that I keep you dependent on me. The fool said, soul, lay up for many years and take your ease. And the Lord said, thou fool. Because the Lord's provision is that way. It's a day at a time. It's enough just for a day. Jesus said, don't take thought for tomorrow. Don't bring the problems of tomorrow. Don't bring the anxiety of tomorrow into your life today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, the strain, the demand, the spiritual warfare. Sufficient unto every day is the demand, the evil thereof. And the Bible says, as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. The circumstances, the trial, the sorrow, the heaviness, the difficulty, there's enough, God says, of my grace to meet you every day. I will provide for you every day. I am your Father, and I will give you daily bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, provision for today. When we try and lay up provision for tomorrow, what happens? We become fretful. It disturbs our peace. God wants us to know that we live a very dependent life on him. It's a day at a time. We're relying on him, on his presence. We're relying on his word. He says that man would know that he doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we take in the word of God every day. We take in the supply, the promise that we need. And in that dependence, this is the way the Lord leads us. It keeps us pliable. It keeps us tender. It keeps us relying on the Lord. What a mercy of God that is. Remember the way in which the Lord leads you. That's how He leads you. That's how He leads you. Heaven's bread is not like ordinary bread. Ordinary bread, you can go to the bakery, buy a few loaves, and you don't have to go back to the bakery for a number of days or a week or two if you bought enough bread and store it properly. But God says, that's not the way it is with me. You have to go out every day and gather. That's how dependent I'm going to keep you on me. Man did eat angels' food. The Bible says, the bread of the mighty. Jesus said, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. And every day we eat of that bread, and it's enough for a day. And as our days, so shall our strength be. It doesn't matter in our family, our job, our environment, situations that take place. There is enough grace of God. There is enough word of God. He's the God of yesterday and today and tomorrow. But He's the God of today. He's the God who was and is, and He'll be there tomorrow. He's the one who is to come. You know what happened to some of God's people? They didn't want to live like that. They went against the word of the Lord. They said, we don't want that routine. We have to go out every morning and gather manna, supply for the day. We don't like that. We're going to gather more than we need for today, and we'll store it up. But you know what happened to it? It bred worms and putrefied. God says, that's not the way I lead you. I lead you one day at a time, and I want you to take my word, and I want you to take my provision, and I want you to ask, Father, give me today my daily bread. He wants us so dependent on Him, because He knows if we aren't, that pride and corruption and ease and self-sufficiency will ruin our lives. This is the way the Lord leads us. This is the way the Lord leads us. And so we go to Him for daily supply. We go to Him for daily bread. We live out our lives in a conscious dependence on the Lord, and we know that that's His will. God says, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. Don't try and get ahead of yourself. Don't try and get provision that isn't yours yet. I will be there in your future. I will guide you. I will lead you. This morning, remember the Lord who fights for you. And remember the Lord and how He leads you. And as we close this morning, I'm going to invite you to bow your head for a moment. And down in your own heart today, surrender yourself afresh to the Lord. Maybe you've been anxious and fretting about things, discouraged about things. Remember today how the Lord leads you. Say, Lord, I receive your grace for today. You've been faithful all my life. You've led me through every sorrow, trial, circumstance. You were there. You were there for me, Lord. And I felt your grace and I felt your power. And when other people wondered how I could stand in the midst of what I did, it wasn't unknown to me. Your word was in me. Your presence was in me. Your grace was in me in a time of my need. And the Lord will be with you today, and He will be with you tomorrow. Receive His grace. Don't borrow tomorrow's trouble. Don't borrow tomorrow's anxiety. Receive the Lord and His work in your life today. And the Lord fights for you today. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Surrender your heart and say, Lord, every circumstance, every problem, you will guide me through, and you will lead me through in victory and in your righteousness and peace, and I put my trust in you. How many this morning say, I feel the power of a fresh surrender this morning? How many feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you through this message today to comfort your heart, to lift you up? Put peace and comfort and joy. Yes, many hands are up, and our hands, all of us, have our hands up to the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, today we remember our great deliverance, our great salvation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that you're all with us on the field of battle today, and we rejoice in your presence and in your weapons of righteousness, Lord. So powerful, so beautiful, Lord. You've skilled us to be soldiers and warriors, to overcome this world. One day we will rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you that you've made us so dependent on you. Thank you that you've humbled us, Lord. That you're here proving our hearts and examining our hearts and ridding us, Lord, of those base things that keep us from the spiritual life of victory that you're leading us into. So we lay it all down today, Lord, and magnify your holy name. Amen. Let's stand together today. The altars are open. If you have any needs or would like to come and draw near to the Lord in a special way, the altars are open. Come and seek the Lord. But today, let's all of us, let's remember the Lord. Let's lift our hearts and our hands in worship today and magnify our great Savior and Lord. Remember the Lord today, who fights for you and leads you in his ways.